Found it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Found it!
Podcast. Welcome to...
Found It.
Podcast. A podcast about trees, about nanos, about bisons, and geocaches all over the world. I wish you a very happy new year, and I hope all you geocachers and others, of course, have had a great holiday since we spoke last time on New Year's Eve, actually. 2022 is a brand new year, and that means brand new guests, topics, and of course, episodes. As you can hear now, I am speaking English, and you all know what that means. I have an international guest. All the way from Joplin, Missouri, I present Mike Brandon. He's not just a geocacher like us, but he's also the host of the Where Is Now geocaching podcast. Hello, Mike, and welcome to Found It podcast.
Hey, thanks, Patrick. Great to be here.
I got very happy when I first found your podcast and also that you were willing to join. Because I had a couple of other podcasters join, but just having people from abroad is very fun for me.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I'm also excited to have you on our podcast as a guest as well.
Oh, that would be nice. Well, I'd like to know a bit about you, so let's start about, what is your geocaching name?
Well, my geocaching name is Where Is It Now? Exclamation mark.
Okay, so how come you chose that name?
Well, it was an accident, and like most things in my life, it wasn't planned, and most things that aren't planned don't turn out like I wish. But I first tried to be Where, and that was taken. Then Where Is It, and that was taken. And I think probably my 10th or 12th time I entered a name, every time I would just keep adding on to the end. And Where Is It Now was also taken, so I put an exclamation on the end, press enter, and it accepted it. And I said, no, I don't want that name. But that's how I got it.
Okay. So, and when you chose that name, that must have been when you became a geocacher. So when was that and how?
I remember that date. It's odd that sometimes I forget my wife's, you know, birthday, but I remember the day I started geocaching. It was January the 11th, 2013.
That is a while ago.
Yeah, it's very specific, isn't it?
Did someone refer you to it, or did you just find it online and start? Or?
No, I was reading a magazine, and I always like to say an analog magazine, a real in my hand reading a paper magazine called Mental Floss. And it's still one of my favorite magazines, but I often read it online now. And it had Mental Floss does lists. They list all these things about different topics. And in this episode or this edition, they had list of fun things to do, fun hobbies or something like that. And one of them was geocaching. And then below the list, they sort of explained what it was. And I was immediately intrigued. And downloaded the app right then, right that minute.
Oh, okay. How much time do you spend out geocaching?
Is my wife going to hear this episode?
Maybe.
Then hardly any. No, I'm kidding. She knows. No, a lot of time. So On a slow week, I would say 3 or 4 hours. On a busy week, 20 hours. So what makes it so long is often my day trips are 12 and 14 hours long.
Okay.
And by the way, that's because I have to drive so far to find a cache that I haven't found.
Oh, so you have logged a lot of caches in your nearby area.
I have. So I'm usually 40 minutes or to an hour to get to a group of caches I don't have. And by the time you drive an hour, you just figure I'm going to spend the day doing it.
Well, okay. Now I would like to talk to you about Where Is It Now podcast. When did you start it and why?
It was another accident, like everything in my life. It was in March of 2020. I was going crazy because of the COVID lockdown. I couldn't even go geocaching. You couldn't do anything. And so I was sitting in my studio playing some music. I have a recording studio. And it just hit me. I should start a podcast. So I started recording a podcast right then, not knowing anything about it and just being bad at it. But March of 2020.
Okay. How often do you publish episodes?
Another accident, if you can believe it. My goal was anytime I wanted to, because one of the things about our podcast is we don't have any sponsors, so we're not receiving any money or anything, so we don't have to do it any certain time, but it's turned into a weekly podcast. So that was an accident. I accidentally released a whole bunch at once, and then the internet told people that I was a weekly podcast. So I've become a weekly podcast. So we release every Saturday morning, Central Standard Time in the States, at 8 a.m.
Okay. How do you think that people they reacted and gave you some feedback? Or how do you think that they have been?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is people don't tell me things they don't like. They only tell me things they do like. So I guess I get a lot of positive feedback. It would be nice to have somebody tell me what they really thought. Now, I will tell you this. I was on a social platform called Clubhouse, and it was a podcasting group. And when they heard the name of my podcast, they told me I should change the name, that podcast should be the first part of the name, not Where Is It Now. And I did that, but 2 weeks later, I changed it back. I think overall, it's going okay. We're growing a little bit more each episode, and we have more people following us each month than we did the month before. I'm going to tell you the truth. I like listening to it when I'm geocaching, so hopefully other people do too.
As for the podcast, I guess you have some plans for the future, maybe to grow audience or just grow areas where you can produce episodes. Do you have any plans that you are willing to share right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things I have learned is that my true love is geocaching, not podcasting. And so sometimes there were times in my past where I found myself doing more podcasting or things for the podcast rather than geocaching for fun and recording that. So my plans for 2022 is there's a group of geocachers on Facebook that are local to me. We're going to form a group of caravanners, and we're all going to travel together to different areas around the four states that I live in. And the longest trip will probably be 5 or 6 hours one way. And the closest trip will probably be like 45 minutes. So my idea is that we would all get together, caravan to an area, have an event there for the people there, and bring 20 or 30 people to their event where they may not see other geocachers very often. And then as the podcast goes, I'll record that event like I often do. So that's what I'm going to do physically. And then we're stepping up our advertising. We're going from zero to some. Now, we advertise on social media all the time, but just for free. But I did sign up for 6 half-page ads in FTF magazine, which is a English, I don't know if you guys get it there, but it stands for First to Find magazine, and it's in English. So I'm doing some ads in that. And I think those are my plans for 2022.
I think we can get it, but you have to custom order it.
I get the geocaching magazine that's in German, and I can't read it, but I still get it every episode and look at the pictures and try to read it. But yeah.
Well, pictures can say more than 1,000 words.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So back to you as a person. You've been doing this for a long time now, and I often ask my guests what their best experience would be so far.
Well, I knew you were going to ask that, so I went back and looked up 2 GC numbers so I could actually tell you where I was. So I have 2 favorite caches, if I can have 2 instead of 1, and they were both amazing experiences, once-in-a-lifetime experiences. One of them was GCA as in Alpha, 6-8, D as in Delta, and that is Stonehenge, just south of London in England. And Stonehenge for me, you know, getting to Europe at all was a really big deal for me. And Stonehenge was something I saw in books at school growing up and never imagined I would see in real life. And the fact that there are geocaches, in fact, Stonehenge itself is a virtual geocache. The fact that I could go out there and stand in front of those stones and log a geocache at the same time was an amazing experience for me. It was otherworldly. The other one was also not in America, was in Mexico, and I was with some friends, and we were touring the Mayan ruins down there. Chichen Itza? I don't know how to say it. But anyway, we were at the Mayan ruins, and we were just driving, and we were hot, and we saw this ad for a swimming hole. I don't know what you call them there, but in America, we just call them swimming holes. And we didn't know what it was, and we didn't have bathing suits, but we thought, we're going to go, because we were so hot. It was so hot. And we got there, and they sold bathing suits. So we all 3 bought a bathing suit, and it turned out to be a C-note. That's C-E-N-O-T-E. And that GC number, because this place was the most magical place I've ever been on Earth. It's GC24G, P as in Paul. So it's called Blue Sea Note, and it's worth going to look at pictures, guys. If you'll listen to that GC code and just go Google it, the pictures are amazing. It's basically a cave that the top is open in, and it's full of water. That's crystal clear and sun and waterfalls falling into it. I can't even do it justice, but it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. And those 2 are absolutely my favorite geocaching events. And I will tell you this, when people say, what do you love about geocaching? The number one thing I love is seeing things and places I would have never seen if I wasn't geocaching.
So to just turn it around, you must have some kind of experience that is your worst.
Yeah, yes, I do. And it comes to mind right away. I can't give you a GC number, although that wouldn't matter. But it was outside of Wichita, Kansas, here in the States. And there's a whole group of caches called In the Sticks. And then they're numbered. So In the Sticks, 1, 2, 3, 4, and on. And there's a lot of them. And these are alongside dirt roads in the country. And they're in these tree lines. And these trees, I don't know what kind of trees they are, but they have really long thorns on them, 2 and 3 inches long, and they're really sharp. They're terrible trees. It's a terrible place to hide a geocache. And we were getting these, and I was with one of my best friends, and her and I were arguing. And I don't know what about, but we just weren't having a great day. What can I say? And I got out to grab, this one was on my side of the car. I got out and there was a little ditch that you had to jump over for each one of these. And I jumped over it and slid in the mud. Now, it had been raining for a long time, and I didn't just get a little bit muddy. I was my whole backside was completely covered in dripping, wet mud. My shoes, my socks, my pants, my shirt, my belt, and the back of my head were all covered. There wasn't anything, I was really mad, there wasn't anything to do but to go ahead and get the cash, of course. So I got the cash, and while I was there, I got stuck several times by these thorns. So by the time I got back to the car, I was bleeding, I had mud all over me, I was arguing with the person I was with that day, and I had to get it back into my almost brand new car covered in mud, which, by the way, later cost a lot of money to get cleaned out of there. But that was my worst experience.
I almost feel the pain all the way here. So I do not envy you in that way. Well, that was your worst experience geocaching. But I can imagine you've been on a few events during your years as a geocacher. Do you have any good memories from one of them?
Absolutely. I've been talking a lot about this the past year on my podcast, and it was Mingo Madness in, I don't know if I'm going to think of the name of the town, but it's in Kansas, and it is very near Mingo, the oldest surviving geocache in the world. So that's GC30, and Colby, Kansas, Colby, Kansas. And GC30, I had already gotten it before this event, but I think every 10 years.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's, they have an event around Mingo and people come. Well, this was one of the first events after we had all been quarantined and we could get out again safely. And it was miraculous. My same person that I argued with the time before, we were having a wonderful time this time, and she flew in from Minnesota, which is a long flight, and I drove in from Missouri, and we went to Colby, Kansas, and we got 223 caches that day, which is our record for the most caches in a single day, and they were wonderful. There was geo art, the event itself was really good, there was it was just so well done, and I had the best time.
Oh my, 230 caches in one day. I think my record is like 38.
Well, it depends on where you are. Now, Kansas is flat and easy, so you can put a cache every tenth of a mile in a geoart and literally one person drive and one person jump out, so that makes it faster. I will also say that that event grew our podcast more than any other thing we've ever done because it was the first time I remotely recorded at an event. And so I had people come up to our table and tell us their geocaching name, where they were from, and how many finds they had. And so we got 30 or 40 people that I think talked about the podcast to a lot of people. And we more than doubled our listeners in one weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
during your events or your geocaching travels, or when you've been with friends or so on, probably something funny has happened. Do you have something funny or wacky you can share?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trouble follows me, and funny follows me. So I guess it depends. But I did a whole episode on the APE cache, A-P-E. And it's a famous cache in Washington State, here in the States. And the APE cache was one of the first, was there 6 or 12? But when Planet of the Apes, the movie, did a remake, geocaching did a deal with the studio, and they placed, I think it was 12 APE caches around the world, all around the world. And over the years, they were stolen, lost, or whatever, until there were only 2 left, one in, I think, Colombia or Peru or somewhere in South America, and then the one in Washington State. The one in Washington State went missing, so there was only one left in the world. And I had always dreamed, it's like, I need that because it has a special icon you can only get from an APE cache. And somehow, I mean, there's a really cool blog about it on geocaching.com. They found the missing APE cache. It had fallen off the side of a mountain. And they had found it. And now what they do is once a year, they bring it out and place it back on the trail where it originally was so that people around the world can fly in, drive in, and come get that cache. Okay, so I was studying all about it because I had to fly to get there. And the one thing I kept hearing was, you want to have a bicycle. You don't want to walk this if you can get a bicycle. Now, the other tricky part about this APE cache is you have to walk through a tunnel that's called the Tunnel of Light, which is a little misleading because it's in total darkness. And I think, I hate to exaggerate like I normally do, but I believe this tunnel is a full 2 miles long. So you park in the parking area for the event, you enter the tunnel, and you walk or ride a bike full 2 miles in complete darkness. And then you come out the other side, go about a quarter of a mile, and there's the geocache. Well, I heard you wanted a bicycle, so I called bicycle shops before I got there to rent a bicycle. No one had a bicycle for rent. They were all taken for something else. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I had read that there were these new services where people were leaving bicycles and scooters alongside the streets of Seattle, and you could just take one and pay by the hour or the minute or the mile or something. And so I downloaded the app. It was called Lime, I think, L-I-M-E. And I got to Seattle, and I searched on the app for the bicycle that was closest to me. And so the morning of the event, I get up about 6 a.m. and I searched, and there was one only a mile away. And this is where it starts getting, I think, funny or odd. It was about a mile away, so I got in my car, and I went, a rental car, and I went over there where it was, and it was very odd. It was a motel that was the kind of motel you wouldn't sleep in, you wouldn't, I wouldn't, and that probably only bad things happen at. It was one of those, it was not a good place. I don't want to go into detail, but anyway.
In my head, I get this Psycho from Psycho.
Yeah, it was, you know what? It was bigger than that, but yes, it was. It looked like it was full of people that, I don't know, if I hope this is still G-rated, but I think it was probably full of prostitution, drugs, and criminals. And so I'm driving around the circle looking for the bike, and the map says it's right there, but I can't see it. I'm a little bit scared, but I get out, I park my car, and I get out, and I finally find the bicycle. Somebody had stashed it behind some bushes by one of the rooms. Well, I mean, evidently, they just take the bike to go do whatever it is they do when they live at this hotel, and they bring it back and hide it. And I decide I have to have this bike, so I pick it up and I try to wheel it away. I'm going to take the bike. Even though I'm not stealing it, I'm very nervous. the back wheels won't turn because you have to unlock it with the app. So I lift the back up, which is quite heavy actually, and start trying to get it to the car, and the bike starts talking. The bike says, please register the bike on the app. Please register the bike on the app. And it's not quiet, and it's 6 in the morning, and I'm just afraid somebody's going to burst out of that hotel room screaming, why do you have my bike? And anyway, I open up the trunk, and I put the bike in the trunk, and the trunk won't close. So I go to the gas station a half a mile away and go inside, and people are looking at me from the parking lot because everyone recognizes this bicycle because it's painted lime green and white and has a sign on it. And everybody's looking at like, that guy has a lime bike in his trunk. And so I go inside to ask if they have any rope or twine that I could tie the trunk closed with. And she goes towards a phone like she's going to call the police. And so I left. I just left and I started out for the mountains. Now, the Ape Cache event is actually probably an hour to an hour and a half outside of Seattle in the mountains. So I'm driving towards the event with, at this point, what is sort of a stolen bicycle in the trunk of my car that won't close. And my phone starts talking. You have exited the permissible area. Please return the Lime bike now. Please return the Lime bike now. It did that for a long time. It wouldn't stop. It wanted me to return the bike. It could tell where it was. The bike knew where it was the same way we know where a geocache is. And it literally did that for 30, 35 minutes before evidently I got far enough away or I got out of a signal and it didn't know where it was or something. And it finally quit. I got to the event. I get the bicycle out. And as I'm getting it out of the trunk, the very first thing I hear from a kid with his father in the car next to me who are getting on real bicycles, and they say, the kid says, isn't that one of those Lime bikes from the city? I said, yeah. And he goes, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to ride it through the tunnel. Well, I should describe the bike. The bike is like a bike that is heavy and big. It has a basket on the front, like little girls might have, and it has a luggage rack on the back, and it's heavy and slow. That's all I know to tell you. And it wasn't electric yet. Now they're electric, but this was pedal, and it was hard to pedal. So I get to the tunnel, and I start going through, and it's pitch black. And I brought a headlamp, so I've got a lamp on my head so I can sort of see. But the truth is, the tunnel is full, like hundreds and hundreds of people walking and riding bicycles in both directions. And just to get you to the other side, just imagine a 2-mile ride on a bicycle in the dark that's hard to pedal, going through mud puddles, trying not to run into people. And I got to the other side, and I got the cache, which was wonderful. They actually have someone dressed in an ape costume, and you get your picture taken with them. So I got the picture with the ape at the ape cache and logged it, and then started the awful, and it really was awful, ride back through the 2-mile tunnel. And there is no other way to get there. And I got back to my car, and I was so tired, I couldn't lift the bike into the trunk by myself. And I'm not a small, I'm a big man. I mean, I was worn out. And so I had to ask for help. Now, the kid asked me, isn't that one of those bikes when I first got out of the car? No less than 4 people in the tunnel said, isn't that one of those bikes from the city? How did you get it here? Why did you get it here? Is it stolen? And so when I'm leaving, can you help me get this back? And had to have somebody kind of mock me while I loaded the bicycle back up. I drove it back into the city when the event was over, and you can leave them anywhere. I pulled into a convenience store, a gas station, next to a policeman who was parked there, and took the bike out of my trunk and set it down and drove away. and never heard anything else about it. Now, the other funny thing about this is it's not a free bike. They charge you by the mile or by the hour. I had gone a long, long way from where I picked that bike up. And here's the only saving grace. The bill would have been massive, but the trick was when you signed up for the account, your first trip was free. So I got to use it for free instead of paying hundreds of dollars. If you go to our Facebook page for our geocaching group, it's called Four State Geocaching Society, and search APE in that group, you will see a video of me on the trip, the bicycle in the trunk, the APE at the cache, and all the crazy stuff.
I tell you, that is a very wacky story, actually.
Well, thanks for letting me go on. I know it's not a short story.
Well, the story is, the better the story, the longer it should be. Yes, and I would like to let you share some information about your podcast and how my listeners can listen to you and maybe follow you on some social media. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because now you're in Sweden, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. I didn't want to make a mistake, but you're in Sweden. Sweden is actually our fourth biggest listener group. I don't know why. But anyway, so the way that you can find us is on Instagram, where is it now _ podcast. On Facebook, we're the Where Is It Now podcast. Our webpage is whereisitnow.org. And where you can find us anywhere, you can find any podcast by searching Where Is It Now? And I, you know, you can find us. And I have to tell you that when you come to be a guest on my podcast, we won't do it in Swedish. I'll have to do it in English.
Oh, no.
You can do your half in Swedish. I'll ask you the questions in English. You do yours in Swedish.
Yeah, that will make the language barrier very, very small for us.
Exactly. Well, anyway, that's how you find us. And we'd love to, by the way, I recorded a podcast this morning and mentioned yours on it. So hopefully you'll have some new people as well.
Very nice. And if you as a listener would like to join us, tell your story or just give us some general feedback, this is how you can contact us.
Found It podcast is provided to you by Patrick Norén and Patricia Lehmann. Please visit founditpodcast.se to find out how you can contact us, where you can listen to us, and how you can support us. Thank you for listening.
Mike, I am so honored to have you on the show. It sure was a great start for 2022. And I'll hope this January will be much better than last January. And I hope you have a great one and just keeps geocaching.
Absolutely. And I hope to see you in Sweden someday. It's on my list.
Oh, a bucket list then.
Absolutely. I just need things to be a little more open everywhere and, you know, safe. And then it's definitely on my list to come to Sweden and geocache.
Yes, thank you, Mike. And I wish you all the best. You're listening to Found It podcast with me, Patrick.
And Mike, who is Where Is It Now?
Goodbye to you.
It
podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Found it.